Good Sunday morning, Jacksonville. My name is Josh McCarthy here with News 104.5 WOKV, and I want to welcome you to another weekend of the Ask the Experts weekend. And this expert show is dedicated to the workforce of today and tomorrow. Pete, the job guy Langlois, introduces his listeners to Jacksonville's most innovative companies, and he explores the career journeys behind some of Jacksonville's top influential individuals. And this is all done, all of it, with an honest and entertaining filter that is unique to Pete Langlois, the hard worker himself. Take it away, Pete.
Good morning, all you hard workers. Welcome to this Sunday morning. I want to congratulate each and every one of you right now because you made a good decision right out of the gate. You're listening to Hard Worker with Pete the Job Guy. And why is that a good decision? Well, you know, I am a career expert. And I help give advice to people, the workforce of today and tomorrow. And the advice I give you will help you to be more effective and productive. And it's not just me. Each week I have, as you heard Josh say, as he says every Sunday morning, I have some of Jacksonville's most influential people on my show to also give advice and to share information with you that's going to help you in your careers, help you to be more effective, more productive. You know, sometimes I even tell you about where I've messed up in life, in my career. I've taken a left where I should have taken a right. And I tell you these things not to beat myself up, but to share with you the information, the things that I should have done, and the things that you can do to prevent you from going down the wrong path. That's the show. Because, look, we're all intertwined in the workforce. I don't know a whole lot of trust fund babies that are just sitting on piles of cash. And they don't have to work, never worked. This show isn't for them. And if you're one of them and you're listening, change your channel. Go listen to something else. Go outside and walk the dog for a little while. But if you're intertwined in the workforce, like I believe all of us are, right? Either we will work, we are currently working, or we've worked and we're retired. One way, shape, or form, we're part of the workforce or have been or will be. Okay? It's a great show. And, you know, as I kick off every show, I like to do what I call a monologue or tell you a little story. And today's no different. I'm going to tell you this story. I grew up in a town called Tewksbury, Massachusetts. And it's about 20, 25 minutes northeast of Boston. And my show is called Hard Worker with Pete the Job Guy. And the best compliment that you could give somebody in Tewksbury, Massachusetts wasn't, oh, that Pete, he's the smartest, or he's the richest, or Pete's the best looking person in town. No, the best compliment you could give somebody, if you're from Tewksbury, Massachusetts, was that Pete, man, he's a hard worker. Peter, you're a hard worker. And it was pronounced like that because it's Massachusetts and we have no use for the letter R, okay? But that kind of stuck with me. You know, I wanted to work hard in my life and I always did. And I cringe when I hear people say, work smarter, not harder. You know, sure, work smarter. If there's a way to do something more efficiently or if there's a better way to get something done, you know, work smarter. Matter of fact, work your smartest. You know, but not harder. You know, to me, the hard part is for me to wrap my head around is if you could work harder and do more, you know, why wouldn't you give it your absolute best? You know, and that's the part that makes me cringe. So when I think of that, work smarter, not harder. How about working your smartest, but also work your hardest, do your level best at whatever it is you choose to do. And, you know, I've had some people tell me, oh, this whole work hard thing, Pete, that's a thing of the past. You know, you're going to burn out and you're preaching hard work. Well, nowadays people want workforce balance and they want other things, flexibility. Sure. What I'm telling you, and I want to talk to you, there's two things I want to talk to you about hard work. One of them, what does hard work actually mean for office workers? And the second thing, number two, is what's a simple thing you can do each day to protect yourself from burnout? So number one, let's get back to what hard work is. I want to define it for office workers and for all workers in general. Now, I don't mean, what it doesn't mean is, okay, if you're supposed to start at 8 a.m., I'm not saying come in 2 hours early at 6 a.m. and don't leave until 10 o'clock at night because you're the hardest worker. That's not what hard work means. Nowadays, what it means is planning your work into chunks during the day. Okay, I'm going to get these tasks done during this amount of time that I've allotted for it. And then you stay laser focused and eliminate all distractions while you are in your chunk time. Okay, because this is your unfettered time to be as effective and productive at hitting your tasks as possible. So that means putting away your smart device, your cell phone, you're not checking email, you're not checking texts, all this other stuff. You're not, you know, sitting and chatting about Minshew or the Jaguars or something else. You are working your planned days, your activities during your chunk time, and you will not come up for air during that planned time. That is hard work. It's really limiting distractions and staying focused on your tasks. That's the hard work, okay? Now, a simple thing you can do. Now, I used to have this thing I was proud of, okay? And I used to call it, I operate my day with zero downtime. Meaning, I'm running to the restroom and back because I have zero downtime. You know, there was nothing that was going to take me off. I didn't take breaks. But you know what? You burn out like that. I wore it like a badge of honor until I got tired of it. And I'm like, what am I doing? You know, and I'm exhausted. And this is the simple thing that you can do. And I put it out on my social media this week. And, you know, it's take breaks. That's it. Breaks increase productivity and creativity. Taking breaks refreshes the mind, replenishes your mental resources, and helps you to become more creative. Aha moments come more often to those who take breaks, according to research. So you want to stop what you're doing, but you have to have it at planned intervals. You know, so let's say I'm going to work, and this is how the intervals. I got to read the second part, and this is what I put out on my social media. It said working for extended periods without breaks can cause stress and exhaustion, and I'm telling you, I know that's true. I lived it. Take a short break every hour or so. A quick 5 to 10 minutes should do the trick, and take longer breaks every few hours. So think, I'm going to have 50 minutes of unfettered chunk time to just get after my tasks. I might choose to take a quick 5-minute break to check my email and check texts or anything like that. But then I'm going to have another 5 minutes that I dedicate 100% to clearing my mind, relaxing. I might look out the window, go downstairs, walk around the building, grab a cup of coffee, but just try. Some people meditate. But this is what you got to do to clear everything and come back and be ready to be more creative and productive. That's what I'm talking about. So taking breaks is critical to your success. And again, I just told you where I took a left where I should have taken a right there when I didn't take my breaks and I operated with zero downtime. All right, hard workers, I tell you every week that I have some of Jacksonville's most influential people. And today I am proud to have Matthew Parks. And let me tell you a little bit about Matthew. Matthew is an IT professional. He's a consultant, an IT instructor and presenter. And I saw him very recently. I think it was the TCC. Was that the name of it at TIA? Field. It was a big tech conference, and he was speaking up on stage, and I said, I have got to have this guy on Hard Worker with Pete the Job Guy, and thankfully enough, he came. Matthew is an IT professional. He has been since 1995. He has many industry-recognized certification. He works as the Senior Director of Information Services for Pace Center for Girls, a nationally recognized statewide prevention program for adolescent at-risk girls. In his role as Senior Director of IS, Matthew oversees PACE's Information Services Department for, get this, 22 PACE locations across Florida. Matthew, welcome to Hard Worker with Pete the Job Guy.
Hey, glad to be here.
I'm so glad you're here. Now, I read the big intro, and it is impressive, and I've seen you speak, and I'm a fan of yours. But tell us a little bit more about you, PACE Center, and what you do.
Well, I'll start with PACE. So PACE Center for Girls is, as you mentioned, we're a statewide organization. Actually, we just did our first foray into Macon in August. So we just, that's our first outside extra state
activity. Yeah, in Georgia, started. We're expanding.
Yeah, so we expanded into Georgia. And we've been around for about 35 years in March. We've helped 40,000 young women in that time basically reach their potential and transition their lives into better situations.
It's a wonderful story. Pace is a wonderful organization. We'll talk more about that. We had Mary Marks on before. She was fan. I learned so much, and it's just
she's awesome.
Yeah, it is. It's great. But please continue. I didn't mean to interrupt.
No, you're fine. And so my job basically is that I provide the technology which interconnects everyone. I make sure that the data is there, and then the integrity of that data is pristine. I make sure that the productivity can happen so that they can provide the services to the girls. So we really are a lattice system for the organization, in the simplest way to put it.
That's fantastic. You know, here on the show, and you know, you've listened to the show before, we're big proponents of STEM, you know, science, technology, engineering, mathematics, and we've had some great guests. I've listened to you speak, and I prepared some good questions here. I'm going to ask you and get ready. So first off, number one, why is minority inclusion so important to IT moving forward?
You know, that's a great question. Part of the reason that that's important is that we've moved into an ambient age of technology where technology travels with us. You walk out, there's a traffic cam that sees your face, right? And it can identify you. There's new technology. Amazon has recognition as a company that they've sold. They're a big contractor for the U.S. government and for law enforcement agencies around the country. The FBI has a database of 640 million faces that they use for. There are only 350 million people in registered in the U.S. according to the census. So that tells you how many faces they have. And based on that, one of the problems that we see just in facial recognition, just to take that segment, is that there are almost 50 to 60%, and numbers could be higher, of minority false positives in that realm. So you're looking at a tool that's going to be utilized to that's intended to help with the stem of crime, to help with identifying different entities, terrorists and such. But you have a alarmingly high rate of false positives because the data set is incorrect. Part of the reason that the data set is correct is that in the STEM community, we don't have enough inclusion of particularly African Americans. We only count as 2% according to the Department of Labor and
Statistics.
Surprisingly
low.
Yeah, 2%. And if you break down by different genres inside of the technology, it goes less than that in some cases. And if you look at that representation, that tells you that the folks that are doing the designing of these technologies and the implementation don't have, they have a false data set because it's not inclusive enough to really include the representation of the population that exists. B, there's the experience part of it, where if you're a person that hasn't had an experience of being misidentified and how that can escalate into something deadly in some cases, then you really don't, if you don't write the code that way, if you don't train the systems to recognize these type of things or even emphasize the importance of getting that face as close to right as possible, then you can run into a life and death situation. So that's just one example where minority inclusion is going to be very important moving forward.
Well, that's a great example, and it's an important one. So next question. What are some of the technologies that are the future of IT?
So if we talk about enterprise IT, I tell you the biggest future technology that's actually starting to come down the pipe is what's called software-defined wide area networks. So what that means is that we were in a situation where we would make these hard connections between, just like you'd think of cup and string, right? We would literally have very expensive cup and string in between buildings that went so that they could connect to one another. And as we're starting to advance, we figured out that a lot of that hardware that we used, we could simulate that in a software environment. And so by doing that, that takes the cost of the total cost of ownership on that hardware down. So now you have the ability to have very sophisticated interconnected networks for a lower cost. And they also have the ability to, getting too wonky, to aggregate different internet connections. So you can have primary, secondary, tertiary connections all in the same box. And it gives you a failover at a rate that we really had to have different separate devices to do. You can do it all in one box. So there's also an energy savings there. There's space savings. There's a lot coming out. That's one of the hottest ones that's coming in the corporate world right now.
Yeah. Yeah, that's incredible. You got to keep your finger on the pulse or it's going to pass you.
In technology in particularly. I mean, if you, if you're sedentary in technology, yeah, you're not. It's not long before the bus passes by. You don't even see it go.
So Lotus Notes and Novell. Oh, is that making a comeback?
Not anytime soon, yeah. It's funny, when I have been in the business long enough that I remember that the Lotus Notes, and particularly Novell with the certified Novell engineer, the CNE, that was like a God-level certification that all of us aspired to, and that company doesn't exist anymore. So it's just funny how it does change so rapidly.
I remember all the day. Back when I started programming, I was doing strings of ones and zeros and, you know, binary.
Yeah, and machine language and that type of machine code. It's insane,
Well, you've been a hiring manager. You've been a leader in IT for a lot of years. What are some of the things that you look for when you're looking at job candidates and interviewing them?
I'll tell you, you know, one of the things is that we have to demystify is the myth of the resume. So the resume comes in, that's all the qualifications. You know, when you come in, there are four or five people that have those same qualifications. The biggest piece that we look for, number one, is the soft skills. You know, how do you communicate? You know, what type of eye contact are you giving me? What type of visual feedback? What type of are you giving me as the person that's on the other side of that table?
Let me just stop for 1 second. Example. If anybody here, if you got a pen and a paper and you're thinking about looking for a job, I want you to hear what's happening right here. You are getting career advice that is going to help you from a leader right here in Jacksonville that is interviewed, I'd probably say thousands. It has to be hundreds, but it's probably 100%. Over 1,000. And what he's saying is pure magic, okay? The resume doesn't tell the whole story. Sometimes it might get you through the door because you see some things that are, you know, on the resume that might get you in. But you're hearing a hiring manager is telling you that the soft skills right now, eye contact, preparedness, you know, all that stuff, how you talk and communicate. Do you speak better to your feet than you do to the person in front of you? You know, how prepared are you and ready to engage the manager that's sitting across from you? So I'd recommend you take a couple notes here, or perhaps if you have your device du jour in front of you, get your thumbs cranking right here and make a note of this. But I'm sorry, Matthew, please continue.
You're fine. And part of it is that exactly what you're saying in IT is that a lot of us have gone in IT go because of the social skills or lack thereof. And what I do is I have a couple of presentations and talks that I've done around the country about that, where we discuss the soft skills and how necessary that is, because I just had a recent group of students that I spoke with at a local school, and one of the things that when they asked about, hey, so what about this getting in and I don't have experience, I said, well, the good news is that you're going to start out on the help desk. The bad news is you're going to start out on the help desk. And the reason that I emphasize that is that the help desk really gives us, as that manager, that good finishing school for the next point that I make is about the culture. If the person checks all the boxes, they're a great conversationalist, the person has the resume where they have the technical acumen on paper anyway, right? We'll test that in the real world. But this also, knowing your organization as a hiring manager, what fits culturally for your organization and how that fits, it speaks beyond appropriateness. It speaks to making sure that that individual meshes well with the ideals of what you're trying to espouse as an organization. And if you find those things, those are the three things, I guess. The technical, that's number one, that's a no-brainer. But the soft skill, making sure that that person can carry themselves in a situation. And then the next piece of that is making sure that that cultural fit is there.
Excellent. You know, this is a good time right now. Let's take a quick break. We'll come in right back. You're listening to Hard Worker with Pete the Job Guy on News 104.5 WOKV.
What's up, Jacksonville? Angie here, president of Angie Staffing. If you're finding it harder and harder to find the right candidates, or your ads are letting you down, call me, Angie Staffing, 904-703-8880. I have over 20 years of experience right here in Jacksonville. I can help with anything, accounting, finance, legal, even that one position that's impossible to fill. Angie Staffing, 904-703-8880. We're bringing back the hustle.
All right. Welcome back, all you hard workers. I'm sitting here with Matthew Parks. He's the Director of Information Services, the Senior Director at Pace Center for Girls. Matthew, you've been in technology for 25 years or maybe a little bit longer than that. What are some of the major changes that you've seen?
I think we mentioned it before that just to give an example, I had the In 1996, I built my first computer for myself. I built them for other folks. That was kind of what I did. I started out as an assembly tech and a wire monkey going through ceilings and running cable. And I finally saved up enough money to buy the parts to build my own computer. That's what we did back then. It was a lot cheaper than buying one off the shelf.
Right, right.
So I built my first machine, and I went into the store because back then there was this magical, mythical number that had been hit called the 1 terabyte hard drive. And everybody wanted that thing. And I remember the sales guys at the business that I work for down in Tampa telling people that you'll never fill this thing up, that it's the biggest thing that's ever made. You can put 4 times the Encyclopedia Britannica, which most people may not know what that is now, on that thing. And it's called the internet, for those of you who are looking.
Now
so as I went in there to go buy this terabyte hard drive, to put in to finish up the, actually a gigabit hard drive, when I went in to build this machine, I didn't have the tax calculated in my head, so I can only afford to buy an 850 megabyte hard drive. And the reason that that's important is that I have 64 times the amount in my hand of processing power and storage power and capability on this device that I have in my hand than I did 25 years ago. The hypergrowth that we've experienced from that ambient and going from back then to now where we are is breathtaking.
It's absolutely amazing. And that kind of puts it into perspective. I'm going to have one quick question for you here, and then we're going to have to take our bottom of the hour break. But yeah, you know, how has security changed in your time in technology?
Well, it goes back to the same thing, that computers were expensive and hard to get, and they also were very complicated to use. So because of that, that was the security, is that you had to be an in on one of those 2 or 3 things to be able to have access to that. It was even another level, a skill level above that, to be able to access internet and things like that. And now we're in a situation where it's prevalent, where everyone has capability, whether it's 3 or 7 or 70 years old. And because of that, the sheer prevalence of computers everywhere we are, that it makes security a lot more difficult. It's more or less a case of having a house that only has 1 door as opposed to having a house that has 70 doors and having to defend those houses the same.
And the bad guys always try to get in one door or another.
And they're
right?
Shaking every handle.
Yeah, that's the way it is. Well, you know what? That music tells us we're coming to the bottom of the hour. Guys, you're listening to Hard Worker with Pete the Job Guy on News 104.5 WOKV. Welcome back, all you hard workers. If you missed the first part of the show, shame on you. Get up earlier. Set your alarms. It's that important. Oh, boy. But no, listen, if you missed the first part, you can always go to PeteTheJobGuy.com. You can listen to all my shows in their entirety. We load up the podcast Monday or Tuesday after the show airs, and you'll be able to listen to it. And this is one that you don't want to miss, because my guest today is Matthew Parks, and he is the Senior Director of Information Services at Pace Center for Girls, and he is really educating us and giving us some great information. If you're an IT professional especially, this is one that you don't want to miss. A great show. Matthew stayed with us through the break, and he's here, and I have a couple more questions. Matthew, Jacksonville likes to think of itself as a tech center. What does Jacksonville have to do to live up to that image?
I think part of it is that, number one, we need to do more of what we call pipelining. And that means that we need to there needs to be more of an affiliation at the school level, meaning high school and middle school, that we're actually building those and home growing those technologists here in town and then keeping them here with attractive opportunities. If we want to attract companies, that's one of the first things they look for, is what does your population look like? Where do I find workers? Do I have to import those workers in, or do you have a source, more or less kind of like a farm team or a draft that I can pull from in that particular environment? And I think that that is something that we have to do a better job of here. The other part is exposing some of the great technology advances advancements that we do have. We're one of only the 14 centers in the world that has an autonomous test track, for example, with our JTA. Most people don't know that. In the country, you only have, what, two, Jacksonville and Las Vegas, that have an autonomous test track, that and that is what we're looking to with the JTA, which is a phenomenal opportunity. You know, it kind of made a splash from a sports perspective, but I don't think most people know what Mike Webb and the Jaguars are doing over there with those scoreboards. I mean, you have the world's largest scoreboards. Yeah, the one in Atlanta, it's a big ribbon. You have the two largest freestanding scoreboards in the world, and they have a resolution on them that is beyond anything that you can buy until last year, an 8K display.
Wow.
Just think about that. One of the fun facts that they tell us that most people don't realize that even at night, they only fire those things up to about 40% because the FAA called them because planes were actually distracted from how bright they are at 100% when they were doing their testing. Just think about that for a minute. So if you've gone to a Jaguar games or if you've seen it on television, that level of brightness is well below what they're capable of doing. Even the people across on the other side of St. Nichols, they were calling in saying, hey, you know, I'm having trouble sleeping here. Can you turn those things down? And the rich content that they're able to put on that, again, most people don't know that the NFL sends people to Jacksonville, both from a technology perspective because of the things that they've done with the stadium. They send them here for production because of the production value that we put into the actual productions that they put on, those live shows that they have, and because of the website that we have, which is always cutting edge as far as the NFL has been and the sports in general, that they've sent people here that come and intern out of Jacksonville and then they go out to other sports franchises. So that's just two examples of some of the things that we're doing here in Jacksonville that we really need to expose to the rest of the world so that you've changed the perception. You know, the thing I was just telling my wife this morning that Jacksonville has an inferiority complex. You know, we're really the Chris Farleys of the cities, that we're a fat kid in a tiny jacket, right? We're a big city, but we want to kind of comport ourselves as though we're a small town. And you can't have it both ways. We really need to get a jacket that fits or lose a little bit of weight, but we need to figure those two things out so that we can actually have an identity that is as cross-marketable.
Yeah, it's you know, it's a great analogy, by the way. But, you know, when I think of Jacksonville, there are a lot of creative IT startups that are here. And the people are so innovative. And I've had a few on the show, and I just love hearing the ideas. But they take it through fruition, and it's exciting. There's a lot. And
Forbes magazine has us as number 14 as far as IT growth.
That's tech hub.
Yeah, I mean, and that's pretty big. You think about how many cities that are listed, and it also has us listed in the top 25 of cities to move to as a technology person and for millennials in the top 10. So as you start to build all those things together, we really have to indoctrinate a culture in the city where we have exposure, but we're also, again, building from the bottom up so that we can feed into those startups, so that we can feed into those large organizations as well that are looking to hire talent, because it is difficult.
That's great. Now, here's one. And you travel a lot. So what Jacksonville outward expressions of technology do you like to share in your travels?
Well, that's one of them. I talk about the JTA because it is a public entity. So that's something that all of us own a piece of. And the things that they're doing with, you know, the bus lines and the revolutionary tracks that they're taking with, and I guess another one would be the Bay Street Innovative Corridor, if you've heard about that, and where, you know, you're going to have some really, really Buck Rogers. I know I'm dating myself again, but some really Buck Rogers level stuff.
I can relate to Buck Rogers.
Yeah, down on that Bay Street with the Innovative Corridor, when you have actual streets that are going to have markings, LED markings in them that will direct traffic from the street level. I mean, you don't have to look up at a sign.
Right.
The street is actually, and it will change dynamically based on whether it's a Jags game directing the flow of traffic. You know, you'll have smart sidewalks that detect when someone's on the actual curb and change the signal. There's just a lot of things that are going on down there with the North Florida TPO and some of the work that they're doing there from a technology innovation perspective. The Jacksonville Aviation Authority, some of the things that they're doing over there with the way that, and again, it's one of the fastest growing airports in the country, and they're opening up Corridor B over there finally. And part of that is because of the innovation that they're running internally to make themselves more efficient and more effective. So there are a lot of things that people just don't realize are going on here. You know, the biggest other thing, I guess, is if ever I go somewhere where there's animatronics, I know that it's probably coming from Jacksonville here with the Sally Corp.
Oh, Sally, yes.
Right? And so that's one of the biggest pieces that, you know, when I travel and I see an animatronic display and I ask, hey, was that Sally Corp? And they, oh, really? I didn't know. And so, yeah, right in Jacksonville, Florida is where we do that.
I love just going to a tour at that place.
Well, and they're tight about that. So right. You have to pretend to be a student. Maybe you can get a group of kids to go.
Oh,
that's the only, so they usually like to do students more than they do adults. But, I'd love to take a full tour of that place as well.
That's outstanding. You know, you've been a phenomenal guest, Matthew, and I'm proud to have you as a guest on the show. Any contact information you want to tell us about Pace Center for Girls or perhaps how to reach out to you and learn more about you and the organization you represent?
Oh, no problem. So Pace Center for Girls, you can find us at pacecenter.org. There you can find whatever opportunities that may be in your state, in your region that you want to contribute to, or you can contribute directly on the page by going to the donate section. There you'll find a wealth of information about the services that we do, the communities that we serve, and you can access get some insight into our day-to-day over there. As far as myself, the easiest way is you can reach me on Twitter, or you can reach me at Matthew B. Park Sr. Same for me on LinkedIn. Those are the two easiest ways if you want to reach me through social. And I think those are the two biggest pieces.
Great. Well, I appreciate you spending your Sunday morning with us. Thank you, Matthew Parks, for being on Hard Worker with Pete the Job Guy.
Thank you.
All right, hard workers, we're going to take a quick break. You're listening to Hard Worker with Pete the Job Guy on News 104.5 WOKV.
What's up, Jacksonville? Angie here, president of Angie Staffing. If you're finding it harder and harder to find the right candidates or your ads are letting you down, call me, Angie Staffing, 904-703-8880. I have over 20 years of experience right here in Jacksonville. I can help with anything, accounting, finance, legal, even that one position that's impossible to fill. Angie Staffing, 904-703-8880. We're bringing back the hustle.
Oh, what a great commercial. Highly recommend you reach out to Angie Staffing. That's my show sponsor, Angie. You call her at 904-703-8880. That is Angie, president of Angie's Staffing. Now, guys, this is one of my favorite parts of the show. Every week, we get a leadership lesson from Coach Larry. And Larry is very good at what he does. He's an executive leadership coach. He's a facilitator. He is somebody that I've respected and known for so many years. But what Larry is particularly adept at doing is taking managers and helping them to truly become effective leaders. And there's a big difference between being a manager and being a leader. And I know you know what I'm talking about. With no further ado, let's go to this week's leadership lesson from Coach Larry.
I was delivering a session on inclusion and diversity this week where the focus was race and gender. And when I was speaking with the men, many of them, and that includes me sometimes, expressed that they don't know how to act when it comes to women. So I'll explain more. Don't worry. In the workshop, we do an exercise where we ask, what did you learn growing up about what it means to be a man? What should you care about? What should you be good at? And often you hear things like, well, men need to be a provider. Or I was told to be a leader, a winner. I was told to take care of women, to be a protector. When we were debriefing that exercise, several men shared a concern about not knowing how to act in a given scenario. So here's the scenario. What do you do if you are at an after-hours corporate event and a woman you know, or maybe a woman that you just met at the event, needs to walk back to her car to go home? Maybe you're in a city. Maybe it's the office parking lot. Do you offer to walk her to her car for safety? She might get offended. Other people might see you walking together and they may say, what's up with that? So today I'm going to talk about how do you have tough conversations in the workplace around race and gender and other inclusive situations, especially when you feel you might say something wrong. Then I'm going to get back to the original scenario I just mentioned. So first of all, I do want you to know, if you have these conversations, you're going to stumble. You're going to get it wrong. You're going to say the wrong thing, and you may offend someone. The important thing is that you try. Why? Because it builds trust where there are differences. And if you don't address things like sexism and racism, then they'll never go away. There are four keys to having these courageous conversations, according to Catalyst.org, a leading researcher on topics of inclusion. The four skills are to inquire across differences, suspend judgment, self-disclose, and demonstrate vulnerability. Let's go through them. First, when I inquire across difference, it's about being curious about the other person's experience, for example, as a woman, or as an African American, or a Muslim, or Hispanic. So, for example, it could be something like, what was it like moving to this country at such a young age? What did you experience? Did you experience racism? How have you experienced working here as a Muslim woman? Or, hey, what was this offsite meeting like for you as someone who's physically impaired? Now, an important caveat here is to know that that person does not speak for all people who are physically impaired or are women or all Muslims, but it's important to inquire about their perspective. The next tip is to suspend judgment. Pay attention to your triggers. Are your biases judging their comments or behaviors as good or bad? This is hard for some, and it starts with you being aware of your own biases. Want a hint on where you get your biases? Look at your parents, your friends, your websites, the websites you visit. No, that doesn't mean that you are their clone or don't have a mind of your own, but you are influenced by society and your upbringing. Third and fourth, it's important to self-disclose something that is personal and be vulnerable about it. Be transparent about your own challenges when it comes to topics of inclusion. If you do this as a leader, others will feel safer to do so themselves. And I don't mean to self-disclose that, you know, I didn't sleep well last night, or I shouldn't have had that second hamburger. It could be something like, you know, I was raised that there were two genders, men and women, and that's it. I don't know what it means to be non-binary or gender neutral. And I was always taught that a man opens the door for a woman, and he makes sure that a woman gets home safely. So back to our situation. What do you do as a man if you are concerned for a woman getting back to her car after a corporate or social event? Now, this may seem overkill for some, but I'm going to lay it out for you using the model that I just shared with you. So first, remember, it's inquire across difference. You could ask, do you have any concerns getting back to your car? How do you typically handle these situations as a woman? Next, you can self-disclose and demonstrate some vulnerability and share that, you know, you were taught to make sure women get home safely, but you worry that women might take it the wrong way. And if you think it's appropriate, you could ask her if she wants someone to walk her to the car. Better yet, you can suggest that a group of you walk to your cars together. So how would you handle it? Would this work for you? What might concern you about this approach? As a facilitator and coach who focuses on inclusion and diversity, I'd love to hear what you struggle with in this area. You can get in contact with me at www.mendozaandobrien.com or on the LinkedIn. This is Coach Larry, and thank you.
Oh, another gem from Coach Larry. And I don't think, Larry, I don't want you to think that I don't know that you're making fun of me when you say the LinkedIn, because he says I'm the one that says, oh, I'm going to get on the internet, or I'm going on the Instagram and the Twitter. And it's a big long run of joke. So when Larry says the LinkedIn, he's doing that to get me. But when Larry says he wants you to reach out to him, please do it. Engage Larry O'Brien, MendozaandO'Brien.com, or you can get him on the LinkedIn, Larry O'Brien, and he's there, and he can help you, and he would love to hear from you, so please reach out to Larry O'Brien. Guys, I am Pete the Job Guy, but my real name is Pete Langlois, and I run staffing agencies, and I have for about 20 years right here in Jacksonville. Pete the Job Guy does full-service staffing. I'm a veteran. So this is a veteran-owned business, and I would love to help you if you have a hard-to-find skill set, and the professional services sector is where I'm at. So I help folks that are looking for accounting and finance professionals, or if a company needs legal assistance, assistant, whether it's document review specialist, if you need legal secretaries or, you know, legal assistants or even attorneys, I can help you find these people. From an accounting perspective, do you need auditors? Are you a controller that needs another set of hands? You're coming to month end, year end, quarter end, and you need, if you could clone yourself and you could have your clone do something, you know, you reach out to Pete the Job Guy. You always go to my website. It's real easy. PeteTheJobGuy.com. PeteTheJobGuy.com. And right up front, it'll ask you, are you a candidate that needs help finding a job? Are you a client that is looking for talent? Or do you want more information about the radio show? You got one of three choices up front. It's real easy. You just reach out to me that way, and I am happy to help in any way. Some of the other positions I help companies fill are those creative types. If you need some marketing specialists and you just want to, whether outsource a project for a defined or undefined period of time, you just need project resources, I can help you. If you're a technology MSP in town, and your client wants to do a migration, installation, a conversion or something over the weekend, and you need 40 people that understand technology over the, you know, during the non-work hours to come out and make this happen. I supply the resources to you. They wear your jersey. They're representatives of your company. But I make sure I supply talent. Good folks that get it, that are there to do the job and represent your company well. I help from an IT perspective, whether it's infrastructure or it's application development. You need programmers. Do you need engineers? Do you need big data assistants? I can supply the talent that perhaps other, you either can't find on your own, your ads are letting you down, or you just don't have the time to do it or the resources to find those people. That's where you reach out to Pete the Job Guy. Pete@PeteTheJobGuy.com is my email address. Real simple. Pete@PeteTheJobGuy.com, or you go to my website, PeteTheJobGuy.com, and you just let me know you need a little assistance and we'll make sure we get it. We help with administrative and clerical types of people too, if that's what you're looking for. You need vacation coverage, someone to answer your phones or to process data. I can help you that way too. So it's usually administrative, clerical, marketing, IT, accounting, finance, and legal, all in that professional services sector. That's what Pete the Job Guy does, and you can put my 20-plus years experience of staffing, of running staffing companies and helping clients and candidates, put it to work for you. I'm happy to help. PeteTheJobGuy.com. All right, this next part of the show is one of my favorites, and this is Boston Danny with his Boston Update. And one of the fun parts that Danny does is he gives shout-outs. So if you have somebody you'd like to acknowledge, perhaps they have a birthday, an anniversary, or, you know, maybe the cross-country team came in second in the regionals. Go Providence. Nice job. My daughter's on the team. You want to acknowledge them? You go to PeteTheJobGuy.com, go to my weekly contributors, and you'll see the Boston Danny section, and just fill out a little stuff. Hey, I'd like to give this person some special recognition. And then Boston Danny will give them a shout-out like only Boston Danny can. So with no further ado, let's get this week's Boston Update with Boston Danny.
Hello, Jacksonville. Danny here with your Boston Update. Hope everyone's doing all right. So we got Halloween up here coming. You know, everyone loves Halloween, but we do it a little special up here, seeing how we're home to Salem. It's a town north of Boston. You probably all heard about it. You know, they've had the history and everything, but it's kind of become the epicenter for Halloween. A lot of people just make their excursions. They go right there. They figure they get 100,000 people on Halloween night that flood the city. And, you know, they go to all the Salem witch trials, museums. There's a whole bunch of stuff that goes on up there. And, you know, Salem's famous in itself. You know, it's just a great town north of Boston. You know, Peter, you might not know, but, you know, the Salem witch trials actually didn't happen in Salem. It happened in a town called Salem Village, which is now the town of Danvers. Pete, you know that name. So, you know, it's unfortunately, 19 people lost their lives due to hysteria, and it's not, you know, a proud moment of our history, but it's still part of our history. And remember, we didn't start witches. It was something we brought over with us from Europe. But, you know, over here in Salem, they do it up pretty good. If you ever get a chance to come on up here in October, it's a month-long celebration. You know, you get the House of the Seven Gables. you know, just some famous books, a lot of famous people that have lived up there. Peter knows. He's been all every school kid ends up having a field trip going out there. So they have a good time and they have fun. So that's just something interesting. There's a lot of the paganism stuff goes on up there, and it's just a good time. It's month long, and like I said, you got to book it in advance because 100,000 people. The town isn't that big. It's right on the water. It's very pretty. Lots of shops. Lots of great places to eat. But it gets very crowded up here during the month of October because they do Halloween right. You know, if you love Halloween, that's kind of like, you know, you got to make a pilgrimage there and have some fun. So, folks, I got your shout outs. Check out the new website for Pete the Job Guy. He's up and running. You know, we're working hard for you people, just like everyone. So I got some shout outs. I want everyone to have a wicked pisser birthday. You know how we do it, folks. Do it for yourself. If nobody else does, it's your day. Enjoy it. So we got Scott Bova, Kim Purcell, and I want to give a very special birthday shout out to Peter's brother, Mike Langlois. He's turning 56. Mike's a great guy. You know, he's a chip off the old block, just like all those Langloises. So happy birthday, Mike. And I got a unique shout out, Peter. This is a good one. You know, we do the personals here too. So this is for Tom, and it's from Julie S. And she knows you're listening, and she wants you to know that I love you and I appreciate you more than you know. So that's from Julie to Tom. Tom, you got a good girl there. Enjoy it. Brothers and sisters in Jacksonville, enjoy your weekend. Peter, I'll be talking to you. Thanks, guys.
Oh, another gem from Boston, Danny. And Tom and Julie, that's great. It's always great to let somebody that you love, let them know they're loved and appreciated. That's great. Tom and Julie, I hope everything is going great for you guys because it really sounds like it is. Danny, another gem. Guys, if you missed this whole show, I'm going to tell you what. Today's guest was Matthew Parks, and he's the Senior Director of Information Services for Pace Center for Girls, and he was a fantastic guest. If you listen, you will learn something, but if you did miss it, just go back. I'll have the podcast up on Monday or Tuesday. Go to PeteTheJobGuy.com under the radio show as part of the website, and then click on episodes, and I'll have it loaded up, and you can listen to it in its entirety, especially if you're an IT professional, or if you're here in Jacksonville, Florida, and want to hear what makes Jacksonville so great, listen to Matthew Parks. He was a phenomenal guest, and I hope to have him back on the show soon. Guys, again, I am Pete Langlois. I am a staffing executive and recruiter right here in town. I run Pete the Job Guy, a veteran-owned business, and I provide staffing assistance to companies that are looking for professional talent. If you want qualified applicants, qualified candidates, I'm telling you, they're harder to find nowadays, but there has not been a qualified professional genocide, okay? These people are out there. And I find them. It's not an ancillary part of my job. It's what I do day in and day out. I've done it for 20 years, and you do something that long, you become an expert at it. And I am an expert at staffing and recruiting, and I'd love to help you. Go to PeteTheJobGuy.com. Guys, that music tells us we're coming to the end of the show. You've just listened to Hard Worker with Pete the Job Guy on News 104.5 WOKV.